Shields, and you're listening to the Cozy Sleuth. Today, Snoops and Sleuths, I have with me Zach Bissonette, here to talk about his books, writing, and all things cozy. Zach, would you like to introduce yourself to my Snoops and Sleuths and talk a little bit about your book?
This is so exciting to be here, and as I was telling you before we went on, it's my first interview for this book. So the book is called The Killing in Costumes, and it's the story of two best friends, Jay and Cindy, who have kind of an interesting history. They were best friends in middle school. Then they started performing in talent shows together. And then they were these stars. They started as husband and wife team on a very popular soap opera show in about the year 2000. And then they got married and they were real life husband and wife, and they played a husband and wife on a soap opera. And then they realized that they were both gay, and that ended their marriage and their career because the fans didn't like finding out that the couple they loved on stage and off was no more. So they split up, but remain best friends. And then 20 years later, they get back together just as friends to open Hooray for Hollywood, a movie memorabilia store in Palm Springs, California. And the business is not going well, but then they get a chance at the consignment of a lifetime from a 90-year-old former film star who has a huge collection. And they're competing for that collection when their main competitor for the deal is found dead and they are accused of his murder. And that's the setup.
Oh, dear. Oh, that, isn't that just like a cozy mystery?
Yeah, it's trying to tick all the boxes. But, that's what I love about cozies is, there are certain formulas to it, which I think maybe some people could find restricting. But I find it so much fun to try to be creative and do things I want to do within the sort of confines of a cozy, which I think, as you found with your books, it's less limiting than you might think, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, who would have thought I'd be able to write a book where elves, centaurs, fairies, genies all live in the same world and yet still stick to the confines of, violence off camera.
Yeah, and the puzzle, and I just love that you do that. I think that's so cool. You're like, okay, here's this cozy framework. Because what I was thinking when you were telling me, it's like, because I tried to play with some of the confines of cozies a little bit, but you really went and did something really creative and different.
Oh, thanks. Actually, what's funny is the inspiration for that story was I found something on Pinterest that I think it was like a screenshot of like a Twitter or Tumblr post or something where someone said, I'm tired of magic being relegated to the world of knights and ladies.
Oh,
I want
so
that local coffee shop where you can go in, get a latte with a magical shot of confidence because you got that meeting. I want the psychic hairdresser to always know exactly what hairstyle you want. And
amazing.
That just inspired the town of Lisola.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah, I mean, that's what's so fun about this genre is how do you, when you're writing it, you have these rules, but you want to work within them to do something different. And that's what I love.
Yeah, and that's what I love too. It's great that the cozy genre can be so open where it's like, I've read books set in Africa. I've read books set in Maine. Basically, you can, whatever interest you're into, you can find something in the cozy genre.
And that's one of the exciting things, I think, in publishing right now is that there's a realization that that's like a cool thing and an important thing. And because I think the stereotype of cozies, even 10 years ago, was that the genre, at least at the major publishers, was really dominated by small towns, kind of middle-aged white women or a little bit younger, and sort of very, sort of a little bit one-dimensional in some ways. And I loved those books, by the way, and I still, a lot of my favorite writers fit that, but it's just really cool to see the genre expanding more with people like Mia Mononzala and Raquel Reyes and just, sort of more diverse. I think it's really cool.
Yeah, and it's really a wonderful time to be in the cozy
Sure.
world.
Yeah,
So,
no.
is any of your writing inspired by your actual life?
I wish. My life is not that interesting, but I think the inspiration was, so I've always liked going to auctions and buying things. When I was in middle school, I bought stuff and sold it on eBay. Go to yard sales and buy old records and books and that kind of thing. When I was in college, I did some publicity work for a large auction house. And then I was also, I wrote for Antique Trader magazine when I was in college, and I edited an antiques guide sort of on the side. And then I never did anything with it for a career. But what I loved, what most interested me about the world of like collectibles and vintage stuff and antiques is the sheer level of passion that it creates in people. And that was really, I think, when you're thinking about how to try to create a mystery, because you always need stakes, right? It's like, and that's always, I think, a challenge with cozy mysteries, is how do you have something within this kind of quaint setting that someone's actually going to murder someone over, right? And what I liked about setting this in the world of Hollywood memorabilia is I interviewed a pretty prominent Hollywood memorabilia dealer. It was actually my interview with him is at the back of the book as an author's note when I was working on it. And this just creates so much intensity among collectors and dealers because A, the pieces are really valuable, but also, when you're talking about Hollywood memorabilia, these are sacred objects to people because it's this nostalgic collection, this sort of nostalgic fixation where it's often someone's favorite movie from childhood, it's memories of their parents. And the reason that people are willing to pay, $1 million for a dress from a movie or $3 million for Judy Garland's slippers from The Wizard of Oz is that this inspires passion in people. And so that was what I. It's sort of more than anything specific, what I took away from my sort of brief foray into the world of antiques and collectibles was the sheer passion that can turn dark, for these objects.
Absolutely. And really, like you said, that passion, which is one of the things that I always have to try and remind myself, because, well, one thing, I don't own a ranch, but my main character does.
Oh.
I mean, just, okay, I live in Denver and we're known for our National Western Stock Show.
Yeah.
Just watching little bits and pieces of that, you see the intense passion that these people have for raising their animals and
Yes. No, and that's,
sharing.
yeah, I
Yeah.
mean, and when you're looking for, I think, for characters and plot, intensity is kind of an important thing. And I was like, it's one of the, so my last nonfiction book in 2015 was called The Great Beanie Baby Bubble. And it was about the Beanie Baby craze. And what was so much, what drew me to that initially was the incredible intensity of the collectors and the monomania of these people whose lives had become completely consumed by this one stuffed animal. And so it was interesting because I was fascinated by it. I was partly fascinated by it because I can't relate to it. I have lots of different interests, lots of different hobbies. I like lots of different things, but the intensity of a really sort of monomaniacal collector obsessive is not something I can relate to. And so that's like a really interesting character to me.
Yeah, I can see how that would be because it's just, I'm like you. I have a lot of different interests, hobbies, whatever. In fact, when it comes to one hobby, which is arts and crafts,
Yeah.
even within that, I am what I call an art butterfly. I
Exactly.
go
Yeah.
between this, 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 this.
Yeah. Yeah. Whereas it's like for a character in a mystery, it's so cool to have someone who's just completely linear and focused on one thing. And we're sort of all of the intensities and passions of a person are channeled in one direction. It's unusual, but they're interesting characters.
Absolutely. So do you have any advice for those who would want to write their own cozies or just write in general?
Gosh, this is my first one. I'm probably the worst person to ask because there's so many people.
I mean, learn something during the process.
Yeah, I think what was, I'm trying to think of if I have something really intelligent to say about that, and I don't, but I'll try. I would say to read a lot in a very specific genre. So like, I knew that I loved cozies, and then I decided I wanted to try to write one. So I sort of read a ton of them in a very deliberate fashion so that I would know kind of what the parameters were. And so that, I guess that's, I mean, it's not overly helpful advice, but it certainly was something that was helpful for me, was rather than reading a lot and trying to write a novel based on that, to really read a lot, narrow it down to a very specific subgenre, and then read even more within that, and then come up with my own version of that. And then the other thing I would say is, you know, organizations like Sisters in Crime is great. I'm a member. The people are just so kind to someone who's never done this before. So that would really, you know, that it's, you know, I've worked in a few different industries, Leanna, and mystery writers are the nicest people in the world. They're the kindest people I've ever encountered. I still sort of, I'm waiting for the term where I'm going to find out that they're actually mean, but they're just the nicest people ever. And I've never encountered such kind people. I mean, like Sherry Harris, who wrote the Garage Sale Mysteries and now has a new Florida Bar series. You know, Julia Enriquez, Jen McKinley, Miranda James, and just the mystery writers whose books I loved, who then I, you know, had the honor of reaching out to for blurbs when I was doing one. Just so supportive, so kind, so generous. So that's, if you're trying to write, mystery is a great genre because the people are wonderful and Sisters in Crime is great.
I would absolutely agree because I'm actually a fellow sibling in crime.
Oh my God, I didn't even know.
I'm fairly new to the group myself, so I need to actually get a little bit more interactive with them, but I am actually part of a group on Facebook, Cozy Mystery Village. Love interacting with them.
God, I should get a Facebook. I don't have a Facebook. I should get one.
And every Monday they do a Meet My Main Character. That is so fun. You post as your main character, and basically it's one day where our characters get to roam wild and interact with others.
It's pretty cool. That's awesome. I need to check that out.
And you're right about the mystery genre having some of the nicest authors, which is funny because while I was researching one of my books, I was talking with one of my friends who is not a mystery writer, and she just looks at me going like, how do you sleep at night knowing what you know?
Oh, that's so funny. That's amazing. Wow.
It's just kind of like, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, share this knowledge with mystery writers.
Yeah. That's so funny.
So out of your books, do you have a favorite character, or would you get in trouble with your other characters?
I think you always have a favorite character. And in this one, I mean, I guess I like the main characters, but in this one, the most fun character to write for me was Yana Tosh, who is the 90-year-old former film actress who lives in a mansion alone in Palm Springs and is kind of alternately flirtatious and bullying. And she was a lot of fun to write. But that, yeah, and she wears a large white wig, and I loved writing her. It was really fun to kind of create someone based on the kind of golden age film vixens who I sort of grew up with and love.
Oh, I love golden age Hollywood. I am like addicted to the Turner Classic Movie Channel.
Oh, really? That's funny. Yeah. No, it's you know, there's a thing with genres. There's a simplicity to some of those movies where it seems like some of the best movie ideas were done and now they've already been done. So everything has to be more complicated and more amped up. But I mean, some of those, you know, some of those mid-century movies, it's just, they're just better. There's nothing like them. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm a particular fan of the 1939 movie, The Women.
Oh, I don't think I've seen it.
It's got Norma Shearer and Joan Crawford,
who were allegedly
studio rivals at the time.
Yeah.
And Joan Crawford plays a woman who tries to steal Norma Shearer's husband. The whole cast is women, and it is just a great movie.
Interesting. I got to watch it. I've definitely heard of it, but I...
It's got some great one-liners in there. There's like one of Norma Shearer's character's friends is an author that I really relate to.
Oh, interesting.
And she has one line where after saying that her other friends are just jealous because Norma Shearer's character is happy being a woman, a wife, a mother, all that. They turn on her and say, so what does that make you? And she's like, I'm what nature abhors. I'm an old maid, a frozen asset.
That's a little depressing. Wow, that's funny though. It's a great line. No, yeah. I think my favorite's probably Whatever Happened to Baby Jane, but
I also love the Thin Man movies.
Oh, yeah, those are good. You can't go wrong.
I think I've only been disappointed by one, and it was, I mean, the movie itself was great. It's just the plot. The research department, I think, kind of fell asleep on it.
Oh, that's funny.
The ex-Mrs. Bradford. Huge spoiler alert for anyone who hasn't seen it, but the murder weapon is a Black Widow spider put in a gel capsule and planted on the jockey's body to melt.
Yeah, that doesn't work. Yeah, that's funny.
And I'm just feel like, no, no.
No. That's funny.
But yeah, the classic Hollywood movies. I love them.
Can't go wrong, yeah.
So do you have an author that's influenced your writing? Or
I mean, so many.
Favorite book?
Oh God, favorite book. I mean, it's like, obviously the first one I read was Agatha Christie. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone says that, but I just think, like, to be like, Jen McKinley, Miranda James, Kate Carlisle, I think are three of the most entertaining writers in the world right now. And I just, you know, it's like, I was pretty sad. And you know, I was in New York in March and in April of 2020. And that was not a fun time to be in New York. And obviously lots of people had it a lot worse than I did. I was just sort of sad. And, but, you know, but being able to read Jen McKinley's newest book, just The Library Lovers mystery series is my favorite of her. She has the Hat Shop one and the Cupcake Bakery ones. But, you know, I think, you know, a lot of people, I think, sometimes think that literary fiction, you know, is more important than mysteries, but, and especially than cozy mysteries, which I think get a bad rap. But, you know, to be able to make someone laugh when you don't want to laugh, and to sort of feel warm when that's like the opposite of everything in your life, that's such a wonderful gift to be able to give people. And that's why I just love these writers so much, and why I wanted to be one.
And that is so absolutely true. And it's great that we have the escapism of cozy mystery.
Yes.
Sure, our world outside might not look great, but we can always go to like some small town or small community, and for a moment, we have a friend in a book.
Yeah, and it's these warm connections, and there's food, and every, you know, it's kind of a, you know, it harkens back to, I think, a past that probably never existed, but it's still fun to want to live there.
Absolutely. So if you and your main character were to sit down for coffee or whatever your preferred caffeine intake choice is, what would they get?
What would they get? You know, it's funny. So Jay, my main character, the male lead in mine, is always using caffeine pills, which people don't do that much anymore, but Jay does, in that the caffeine pills end up being important to the plot. I don't want to say more, but... Jay's always hopped up on caffeine pills. And I think Cindy would probably just have an iced coffee black, because Cindy doesn't really like sweeteners or anything like that. And as for me, I'd probably do an iced coffee with milk.
Oh, you can't beat an iced coffee. I love, every morning I do a cold brew coffee with creamer.
You make it yourself or do you?
Yeah. I use the Dunkin' Donuts cold brew packs. And yeah.
I just love Dunkin'. Dunkin' Donuts is my favorite thing in the world.
And usually either the creamer I do is like Cinnamon Toast Crunch flavor or Almond Joy flavor.
Amazing. It's fun.
So basically mine is more caffeinated candy than coffee.
But, you know, you need that in your life to start. There's a lot of less sweet things in the world, and it's good to start with something sweet.
Yes, absolutely. So when you're not writing, do you have any hobbies you like to do?
I go to a lot of jazz concerts, and I collect Perry Como memorabilia. Those are my main interests. Reading, my main interest is reading, writing, going to concerts, and collecting Perry Como memorabilia. I have, I collect like signed record contracts, magazines with him, and it's kind of funny because I've been doing that since I was in middle school and I became a fan of his. And you know, Perry Como memorabilia is not terribly valuable. I think if you had a few hundred dollars, you could build a world-class Perry Como memorabilia. He's largely sort of forgotten, except at Christmas, but I think in some ways he's better than Sinatra. But the love of sort of building this collection and cataloging it and keeping everything on the shelf and sorting through it, you know, that kind of love of my very small collection, I think helped me to understand a little bit about some of the intensity of the Hollywood collectors.
Yeah, I can see how. And that is an awesome collection.
Thank you.
I happen to be a fan of jazz, and actually I've only recently gotten into jazz and blues a little bit.
Oh.
There's a singer that I love listening to, Keb Moe.
Oh my God, I love Keb Moe. Yeah. He did an album with, a few years ago, they did, it was called Around the World. He is just terrific. Such a talented musician.
Oh, I know. One of my favorite songs of his is 62 Chevy. That is such a, you know, a summertime going cruising kind of song.
It's kind of funny. Some of his stuff, it's like the musical equivalent of a cozy mystery in some ways. I mean, it's just so bright.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Wow. That's funny. I'm glad you've gotten into Keb Moe. That's a great, great choice.
Yeah. It's either Keb Moe or Afropop, which is such a weird range, but.
Yeah. He did an album with Taj Mahal in like 2018, I think. That album's amazing.
I'm going to have to look for that on Spotify.
Yeah, you have to. You got to do that.
I've had so much fun chatting with you. I can't believe we're on my last two questions.
It's a blast.
So how can my snoops and sleuths follow you? Because you sound like you're going to be great to follow.
Follow me?
Yeah.
On Twitter, it's twitter.com/ZachBissonette, or you can go to zachbissonette.com, and where you can email me, and it's a lot of fun. And I don't get that many emails on there because I'm not a big deal, but I'm happy to respond to any questions that anyone ever has.
And I will make sure the link is in the show's notes.
You're the best.
Oh my gosh, the last question.
Uh-oh.
What is one complaint your characters would have about you as an author?
One complaint my characters would have about me as an author. Gosh, that's a terrific question. I think they would find me impatient with them. I think that I would like them to do things faster and to figure out what they're going to do faster, because I have other things to do. I can't just write all day, but sometimes they're slow. So I think they would find me impatient.
Oh, that is great. Usually the answer is the other way around. They're impatient with the author, going like, come on, you've left us here.
Oh, that's so funny. No. I'm impatient with them because I just want to get the thing done.
Oh, that is such a great answer.
Well, thank you. I try. This was so much fun. I can't believe this is the first. No interview is going to be more fun than this one. This is just terrific.
Ah, way to put pressure on my fellow podcasters. Well, Snoops and Sleuths, you've heard another great interview here on the Cozy Sleuth. I'd like to thank my patrons for their contributions in keeping the show commercial-free and going. And thanks to my coffee clutch for their help as well. If you'd like to be a patron and have your name mentioned on the air, join me on my Patreon page at patreon.com/thecozysleuth. Or you can become a member of my coffee clutch at coffee.com/thecozysleuth. That's ko-fi.com/thecozysleuth. And if you want to hear Cozies read by live actors, check out the Cozy Mystery Rats Maze, wherever you find your favorite podcast. Until next time, this is Leanna Shields saying, keep cozy.